I'm Veronica Dudo. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, push for peace.
But in the end, peace depends on all of us.
Ukraine's leader addresses the UN General Assembly as Marco Rubio is set to meet with Russia's foreign minister. Attack in Texas, the latest on the deadly shooting at an Immigration and Customs Enforcement facility in Dallas. Unhealthy prognosis, why a member of Congress who is also a physician is calling out the largest association representing doctors in the U.S. Plus, October test. Pope Leo asks the faithful to pray the rosary every day next month. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us on the Feast of Our Lady of Mercy. Our top story tonight, just one day after President Donald Trump changed his stance on the war in Ukraine, essentially saying Ukraine can defeat Russia, the country's president addressed the United Nations. Volodymyr Zelensky delivered a stern and somber warning to world leaders gathered in New York. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports. Owen.
Good evening to you, Veronica. Today, Ukraine's president warned the United Nations that Vladimir Putin wants to continue the war in Ukraine by expanding it, adding, no one can feel safe right now.
As Ukraine and Russia continue to engage in battle, President Volodymyr Zelensky addresses the United Nations. He calls on other countries to help defend life and international law and order.
Peace depends on all of us, on them. United Nations. So don't stay silent while Russia keeps dragging this war on. Please speak out and condemn it.
Zelensky says war doesn't care about geography anymore, and we are now living through the most destructive arms race in human history.
None of this would have happened if Putin had not started this full-scale aggression, full-scale war. And every year that this war goes on, weapons become even more deadly.
On the sidelines of the UN General Assembly, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio met with his Russian counterpart. Cameras were not allowed to witness their remarks. But just yesterday, Secretary Rubio told the Security Council he's worried the conflict could drag on another 3 or 4 years and lead to more destruction, and warned of consequences.
This war needs to end. But if it does not, if there is no path to peace in the short term, then the United States and President Donald J. Trump will take the steps necessary to impose costs for continued aggression.
The developments coming a day after President Trump's apparent surprise pivot on the ongoing war, posting on Truth Social, "I think Ukraine, with the support of the European Union, is in a position to fight and win all of Ukraine back in its original form." And Russia has been fighting aimlessly for 3.5 years, a war that should have taken a real military power less than a week to win. This is not distinguishing Russia. In fact, it's very much making them look like a paper tiger. Russia counters. Russia isn't a tiger. It's more associated with a bear. China also pushing back against President Trump, dismissing criticism that China and India are the primary funders of the war in Ukraine through purchases of Russian oil, adding, "Most countries in the world, including the U.S. and European countries, continue to trade with Russia."
Now, tomorrow, President Donald Trump welcomes Turkey's president here to the White House to discuss trade and military deals. Turkey has served as a mediator between Russia and Ukraine. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
Joining us now to discuss is Peter Rau, a senior fellow and director of the Center on Europe and Eurasia at Hudson Institute. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
President Trump posted that Ukraine is now in a position to fight and win back all of Ukraine in its original form. Looking at the map of Russian-occupied territory, do you believe Ukraine is truly capable of retaking all of its land, including Crimea?
Well, this is a post that really raised eyebrows around the world, given that even President Biden, who's so closely associated with the war in Ukraine, never really used the word win, let alone in all caps, or to retake Ukraine's boundaries going back to the 1991 borders. That includes the peninsula of Crimea, the Donbas region, cities like Mariupol, which have now been for quite some time in Russian possession. It will take a time for the Ukrainians to be able to claw back those territories if they're able to do it. It will require a lot of Western assistance and support. But perhaps over time, The Ukrainians can make their way there. They've been tenacious and dogged in their defense thus far, and who's to say what the future may hold?
In that same post, President Trump said Ukraine could only reclaim its territory with the support of Europe and NATO. Some analysts view this as signaling that the U.S. is stepping back. Do you see this as a retreat of American leadership on Ukraine?
Well, the president also made clear that he is going to continue the program, which he negotiated or worked out with Secretary General of NATO Mark Rutte, where the Europeans finance and pay for American weapon systems for Ukraine. Insofar, the security assistance will continue to flow, and there are sanctions on the books. There's no doubt that the Trumpian mode of thinking, the foreign policy doctrine, if you will, for Donald Trump, is that our allies have to be the tip of the spear. In Europe, that is the Ukrainians at the very forefront, backed by the major European countries and powers, and the U.S. only brings to bear those capabilities which Europe does not possess and hasn't been able to develop, all the way from nuclear weapons to air and missile defenses. So I think that's the method of the case for Donald Trump. But President Trump isn't someone just to walk away. I think he's like a bulldog who's sunk his teeth into this issue and is going to tear away at it until he manages to get a cessation of hostilities.
President Zelensky described today's global security environment as the most destructive arms race in human history, especially with the rise of AI-driven weapons. From your perspective, how real is that threat, and is the West moving quickly enough to regulate or counter it?
There are major advancements on the battlefield in Ukraine, which are notable, including now the AI use of drones. These are frontiers which our own military hasn't reached, or at least hasn't had in operation. And I worry somewhat that the Russians, in particular, given that they are our adversaries, are practicing and working at these new weapon systems in the field, in combat, while we're just examining them in the abstract from afar. There's a new NATO mission set up in Poland that's meant to learn the lessons of the war in Ukraine. But make no mistake about it, the Russians are learning this at a faster clip, probably, than our own military. So I would like to see the U.S., European allies, the Asian Pacific democracies all band together to make sure that we remain at the forefront of innovation, of weapons development, reforming our defense industrial bases. I'm afraid the days of arms control, of being able to negotiate away or regulate away these advancements are probably behind us, given that the Chinese, let alone the Russians, have shown no interest in doing so.
A lot of new developments with all of this. Peter Rao, a senior fellow and director of the Center on Europe and Eurasia at the Hudson Institute. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
One person is dead and two are wounded after a shooter opened fire on an Immigration and Customs Enforcement facility in Dallas. The suspected shooter fired several rounds from a rooftop before killing himself. The FBI is investigating the event as targeted violence. Bullets were found near the shooter with anti-ICE messages on them. At the press briefing, the mayor of Dallas made a spiritual plea.
Now, I'm a person who believes very, very strongly in the power of prayer, and that prayer changes things. And so I'm going to ask everyone, please join me in praying for the families of the folks who lost their lives today.
This is the third shooting targeting immigration enforcement in Texas in the past 3 months. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops launches an initiative commemorating National Migration Week. Bishop
Today,
Mark Sitz of El Paso, Texas, encourages U.S. Catholics to join the effort. He says by signing the Cabrini Pledge, we commit to living out the gospel by affirming the dignity of every person. The initiative is named for Mother Cabrini, the patron saints of immigrants. For more, we turn to Bishop Seitz from the Diocese of El Paso, Texas. Your Excellency, great to be with you.
Good afternoon. It's good to be with you.
We heard the mayor of Dallas ask for prayers following the fatal shooting attack on an ICE facility today. How important is it for civic leaders like the mayor to publicly call for prayers, and what impact can that have on healing and unity?
I think in moments like this, no matter what your particular role in life is, you realize that you don't have the power, you don't have the means in order to fix these issues. And so to turn to prayer should be a natural response for every human being. I'm glad that he was willing to make that statement.
Now, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has launched the Cabrini Pledge during National Migration Week. Can you share more about this initiative?
Yes. It's an effort just to reaffirm what we as Catholics fundamentally believe that should undergird whatever policy decisions we make, no matter what our, you know, party we're from or whatever, something that transcends party is our faith. And so there are 7 points to it. Would you like me to just go through them real quickly, or do we have time?
Sure.
Great. So first of all, it would be to affirm the inherent dignity of every person, fundamental for us Catholics, whether we're in the womb or beyond. Secondly, to engage with Scripture and with Church teaching, particularly in matters of living out our Christian faith, Church social teaching. Thirdly, to seek opportunities for encounter. It's so important that we don't deal with anyone that we're making decisions about from an abstract perspective, right? When we know them personally, it gives us a deeper insight into the issues. And I think it's so important in this questions of immigration. Next, to consider what it means to be a good neighbor. What was Jesus really talking about in that parable of the Good Samaritan? He was answering that question about being a neighbor. Next, number 6 would be to encourage civic dialogue that places the human person and the sanctity of families at the center of policymaking. We're so concerned about what's going to happen to families in the midst of this mass deportation drive, and so many effects that need to be considered when we try to translate our concern into policy. And lastly, to join Pope Leo in praying for all migrants and refugees, whether here or any place in the world. We have millions of people who are displaced right now, and they're the poorest of the poor in many ways.
Now, why was St. Cabrini chosen as the inspiration for this pledge, and how does her story resonate today?
Well, it's interesting. You know, she lived in the 1800s, and she came to the United States in order to serve migrants, particularly Italian migrants who were landing in this country and facing tremendous difficulties, tremendous prejudice and discrimination. They were suffering so much, and so she came to serve them. She spread her work not only in New York and the rest of the United States, but ended up serving also places in South America. This little woman who, was sickly all her life, the strength of her faith moved her beyond. So Mother Cabrini is a patroness for immigrants.
Truly a fascinating life story there. Bishop Mark Seitz from the Diocese of El Paso, Texas, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless.
The American Medical Association, the largest group representing doctors in the U.S., is coming under fire from Republican Senator Bill Cassidy, who is a physician. He's calling them out for promoting gender transitions for children. In doing so, they're defying President Trump's executive order banning the use of taxpayer dollars for transgender surgeries for individuals under the age of 19. Senator Cassidy wrote to the head of the AMA. Unfortunately, the AMA too often has been guided by ideological views in adopting policy resolutions rather than doing what is right for doctors and patients. AMA's recent actions raise questions about whether it is actually prioritizing physicians and patients or simply advocating on its own political priorities. Senator Cassidy and other pro-life lawmakers are pushing legislation to codify the president's ban on transgender surgeries. Meanwhile, the American Medical Association says it continues to support access to quality evidence evidence-based healthcare, regardless of gender or sexual orientation. We have a lot more still to come on EWTN News Nightly. Saintly Help will show you the effort to create a Catholic-focused rehab facility and the saint that inspired it all. Plus, false prophecy, why news of an imminent rapture went viral on TikTok, and what the Catholic Church teaches about the last days. Is underway to bring an explicitly Catholic-focused rehabilitation center to Arizona. A small group of men known as the Colby Mission out of Phoenix is working to build the program. It's named after St. Maximilian Kolbe, a Polish priest who died at the Auschwitz death camp in Nazi-occupied Poland during World War II. St. Kolbe took the place of an inmate who was going to be killed. EWTN News Nightly correspondent Eric Rosales traveled to Arizona and has this report.
Good evening. Addiction is a force that has hit the United States hard, and I'm here in Phoenix, Arizona, a city that has seen its fair share of addiction, whether it's alcohol, drugs, or even pornography. And right now, there is not a Catholic-focused rehabilitation center anywhere in the state, but a group of men is hoping to change that.
I have a history of working with the addicted for over 40 years, 30 years with the diocese, with prison ministry. So anytime you do prisons, it's connected to addiction. And I came out of my own addiction in the 80s as a young adult, so I had a heart for people that struggle with addictions.
Kevin Starrs is the vice president of the Colby Mission. His work in prison ministry discovered Catholic-based rehab facilities don't exist.
And there's Protestant rehabs, secular rehabs, and thank God for them, there's tons of them, but there was never a Catholic rehab where you can go to Mass, confession, say the rosary, and use your Catholic spirituality along with the 12-step, trauma-informed. You couldn't do it.
Now he and his board hope to raise enough funds to build not just one, but several rehab homes across the state. Bishop John Dolan of the Phoenix Diocese has given the Colby Mission his blessing. However, the diocese did not want to take charge of the project, so the group launched its own nonprofit. Several years ago, the diocese did donate to the organization a 40-acre parcel of land in the mountains near Flagstaff, but it proved to be unsuitable. So now the work has shifted towards southern Arizona to find a more favorable piece of property. Construction costs will likely be in the millions. Board members say they are relying on their faith.
But our mission really is to be able to remove those with addictions from the environment that tempts them too easily. And that's where we pray with our hands out for the providence of God, and we have hope and confidence.
By the help of the Lord, yes. By His grace and mercy, I've been sober for going on 8 years.
Margaro Lia is a success story of prison ministry. He now runs a successful drywall company, hiring ex-felons, giving them a way forward.
And I truly believe that God has me here to give back, and knowing that He helped me through my overaddictions, and just bringing hope. And
Lita says having a Catholic-based recovery home would change lives, removing participants from their harmful surroundings.
In this area of recovery homes, to use our Catholic spirituality, the church is way, way behind. And I love my Catholic faith, and I want to provide that for our addicted brothers and sisters.
Right now, the Colby Mission is desperately trying to raise funds. For more on that, let's turn to Eric Rosales, who joins us in the studio. Eric.
Thanks a lot, Veronica. Right now, the Colby Mission is looking for a fundraising coordinator to identify and work side by side with potential donors, such as major corporations. Now, if you'd like to help the Colby Mission meet their challenge of attempting to open a Catholic-based rehabilitation facility in Arizona, you can call the founder directly of the Colby Mission. That's Kevin Starrs at 480-370-9397. Or you can go to their website at colbymission.com. Veronica, these men understand it's a journey, but it's one that they're determined to make with the help of the Lord and the public.
Thank you, Eric. Up next on EWTN News Nightly, new in New Orleans. Pope Leo appoints a coadjutor archbishop in the Bayou State, what he brings to his new archdiocese. Plus, what is the rapture, the religious phenomenon that has taken the internet by storm? We have the Catholic perspective. Pope Leo XIV has named Bishop James Cecchio coadjutor Archbishop of New Orleans. The Archbishop-elect has been the Bishop of Metuchen, New Jersey since 2016. He moves to an archdiocese facing bankruptcy and a costly clergy abuse settlement. He will assist Archbishop Gregory Amond while leading over 500,000 Catholics in southeastern Louisiana. As coadjutor, Cecchio will automatically succeed Amond, who turned 75 when bishops must submit their resignation last year. The Bishop of Monterey, California, terminates the Latin Mass in his diocese. It was one of Bishop Daniel Garcia's final acts before leaving for the Diocese of Austin, Texas. He says he made the move to, quote, strengthen our unity with the Universal Church. He also feared the pastor for the Latin Mass community was not able to give his full attention to the entire parish. The final Latin Mass is set for October 13th. If you are on social media, you may be wondering, is the rapture happening today?
Giving away my car for free. You know, the rapture's happening tomorrow. I'm not going to need any of my earthly things anymore.
Okay, me and Max are ready for the rapture.
No one is promised tomorrow, regardless of whether it happens tomorrow, next week, next month. It's coming soon. Please make sure that you are ready.
So this latest frenzy was sparked by a South African preacher making this prediction on YouTube.
He says to me, on the 23rd and the 24th of September, 2025, I will come to take my church.
It's September 24th, and we are all still here. Let's take a closer look at what the rapture means and why Catholics do not believe in it. The rapture is the false belief that first gained popularity in the 1800s. Some Protestants and evangelical Christians thought there would be a future event where Jesus would partially return and suddenly take true believers to heaven, while those left behind would endure great tribulations. Afterward, Christ would return to establish a 1,000-year reign. There have been many failed claims about the coming of the rapture over the years, and the one trending on social media is just the latest. The Catholic Church teaches clearly instead, Christ the Lord already reigns through the church, but all the things of this world are not yet subjected to him. The triumph of Christ's kingdom will not come about without one last assault by the powers of evil. On Judgment Day, at the end of the world, Christ will come in glory to achieve the definitive triumph of good over evil. That's from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraphs 680 to 681. Finally, tonight, Pope Leo reminds the faithful that death is never the last word.
Di una luce capace di attraversare il dominio delle tenebre.
During his weekly talk, the Holy Father reflected on Christ's descent into the underworld on Holy Saturday. Pope Leo says Jesus brought light to the darkest places and showed that no sinner is beyond redemption. At the end of the audience, the Holy Father urged the faithful to pray the rosary daily throughout the month of October for peace around the world. He also invited Vatican employees to pray the rosary in St. Peter's Square each night. We thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Veronica Dudo. Good night and God bless.